Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 31. Today's text is 20. Soham Vashan Api Vivo Bahu Dukhavasham Garbhan Na Nijigamise Bahir Andakupe Yatrapayatam Upasarpati Deva Maya Mithya Matir Yad Anu Samriti Chakram Etat. Soham Vasan Api Vivabahu Dukhavasham. Garbhanna Nijigamise Bahirandakupe. Yatro Payatam Upasarpati Devamaya. Mithya Matir Yad Anu Samsiti Chakram Etat. Soham Vasam Api Vivo Bahu Dukhavasam. Garbhanam Nirjigamise Bahirandakupe. Yatro Payatam Upasarpati Devamaya. Mithya Matir Yad Anu Samstiti Chakrametat. Soham Vasan Api Vibhavahu Dukhavasam. Garbhanna Nirjigamise Bahirandakupe. Yatro Payatam Upasarpati Devamaya. Mithya Matir Yad Anu Smati Samsmiti Chakrameta. Soham.
I myself.
Vashan.
Living.
Api.
Although.
Viho.
O Lord.
Bahu
Dukha.
With many miseries.
Vasham,
in a condition.
Garbhat,
from the abdomen.
Na,
not.
Nijigamise,
I wish to depart.
Bahi,
outside.
Andakupe,
in the blind well.
Yatra,
where?
Upayatam,
one who goes there.
Upasharpati,
she captures.
Devamaya,
the external energy of the Lord.
Mithya,
false.
Mati,
identification.
Yat,
which?
Maya,
sorry.
Which Maya?
Anu,
according to.
Samsriti,
of continual birth and death.
Chakram,
cycle.
Etat,
this.
Translation.
Therefore, my Lord,
although I am living in a terrible condition,
I do not wish to depart from my
mother's abdomen
to fall again into
the blind well
of materialistic life.
Your external energy,
called Devamaya, at once captures the newly born child and immediately false identification, which is the beginning of the cycle of continual birth and death, begins. Repetition. Therefore, my Lord, although I am living in a terrible condition, I do not wish to depart from my mother's abdomen, to fall again into the blind well of miserable life.
Materialistic life.
Your external energy, called Devamaya, at once captures the newly born child.
And immediately,
false identification, which is the beginning of the cycle,
of
continual birth and death, begins. Purport. As long as the child is within the womb of his mother, he is in a very precarious and horrible condition of life. But the benefit is that he revives his pure consciousness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord and prays for deliverance. But once he is outside the abdomen, when a child is born, Maya, or illusory energy, is so strong that he is immediately overpowered into considering his body to be his self. Maya means illusion, or that which is actually not. In the material world, everyone is identifying with his body. This false egoistic consciousness of I am this body at once develops after the child comes out of the womb. The mother and other relatives are waiting the child. As soon as he is born, the mother feeds him and everyone takes care of him. The living entity soon forgets his position and becomes entangled in bodily relationships. The entire material existence is entangled in this bodily conception of life. Real knowledge means to develop the consciousness of I am not this body, I am spirit soul, an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Real knowledge entails renunciation or non-acceptance of this body as the self. By the influence of Maya, the external energy, one forgets everything just after the birth. Therefore, the child is praying that he prefers to remain within the womb rather than come out. It is said that Sukadeva Goswami, on this consideration, remained for 16 years within the womb of his mother. I did not want to be entangled in false bodily identification. After cultivating such knowledge within the womb of his mother, he came out at the end of 16 years and immediately left home so that he might not be captured by the influence of Maya. The influence of Maya is also explained in Bhagavad Gita as insurmountable. The insurmountable Maya can be overcome simply by Krishna consciousness. That is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Whoever surrenders unto me or unto the lotus feet of Krishna can get out of this false conception of life. By the influence of Maya only, one forgets his eternal relationship with Krishna and identifies himself with his body and the byproducts of the body, namely wife, children, society, friendship, and love. Thus he becomes a victim of the influence of Maya, and his materialistic life of continued birth and death becomes still more stringent. So the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the source of all the scriptures. It provides us the knowledge that is meant for our deliverance from this materialistic existence. The purpose of our existence is to come out from this entanglement. From the time we are born in this world, from the womb of our mother, we are in a horrible condition. We are suffering in the womb of mother. Right from the before even we are born, we are suffering. And all the suffering is waiting for us. Welcome to the material world. Just like you go to Australia, they'll write, welcome to Australia. Some countries, they'll be barking at you. Don't come here. So we are welcome in this material world right from the beginning. We are suffering. There's the suffering in the material world is endless. Dukkha layam asashvatam. Krishna explained that the material world is full of misery. And the very surprising thing is that no one is making any questionnaire as to how to get out of this material existence. Even though we live here for the short life, everyone is making plans to stay here in so many ways. So material existence is Maya, explained here, Maya keeping us captured. That is illusion. We have been captured here by Maya. Maya is Krishna's energy. No matter who you are, we get captured by Maya. And the illusory potency of Maya is that very bewildering. We are bewildered at every moment. And we think, Maya means what is not, that is illusion. And we are staying here in this world, we make many plans because we are under the influence of Maya. We are not making plans to come out of this existence, this materialistic life, which is full of misery. Yet, a brahmana, he is thinking the next day. He is not even thinking the next day. He is thinking, this is my last day here. So when he cooks, he is not even keeping any food for the next day, because he is thinking, maybe next day I might not be here. Everything is fresh. That is actually the proper way to be Krishna conscious. The standard of Krishna consciousness, we do not make plans for ourselves. Well, our plan is to how we can get out of this materialistic existence. That is the instruction of Bhagavatam. Instruction of Bhagavatam is that it roots out our ignorance, rooting out. Like if you have a problem, then you go to the doctor and he gives you prescriptions. You don't say, oh, I'm sick, and stay. And you don't go to the doctor. Everyone will tell you, go to the doctor. Say, no, I'm okay. Even though you're suffering, I'm okay. You ask them, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. Everywhere people are suffering, full of sick, coughing, and cancer, and all types of diseases. You can see today there are so many hospitals, more than ever, everywhere. And in the womb of our mother, we are suffering. We are born suffering. So that is the biggest illusion when we finally make it out of here and we are thinking, oh, it's a wonderful place. We forget that we are praying within the womb. So much suffering. Slowly we forget Krishna. When there is enjoyment, we forget Krishna. And when he's suffering, oh, Bhagavan, oh, Krishna, where is the temple? We're running to Krishna. But when you're enjoying, we don't think. And it hits us, the suffering. Then we, oh God. Now it's time to Krishna. So early from the childhood, from the early age of our life, Lord Maharaj explains that one should take up Krishna consciousness. One should seek for the higher truth, absolute truth from the childhood. Because there's no guarantee how long we're going to be here. That is the platform of a brahmana. A brahmana is always seeking knowledge. Guru means one who is Oma Ganati Vrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. Shalakaya means a knife. A knife you can use very expertly by an expert person who knows how to do the surgery. Now they have really good machinery. They can take out your cancer part or any obstacles within your womb that's causing you pain and disease that can take out with laser. Just take out without there's any sign of cuts or wounds left. So guru is one who knows how to take out your ignorance from the heart. Cut your ignorance. Like in our kitchen here, they have so many knives hanging there. They need sharpening. So the surface thing is not cutting. I'm thinking, wow, so many knives, fantastic. The guru is one who knows, one who's full of knowledge. He can cut your ignorance. We don't have a knife to cut our ignorance. If we can cut the vegetable, what about the knowledge, the ignorance in our heart? They need more expert knife, a guru. That's why the living entities of so many lifetimes, we take shelter of the guru who can give us guidance. From the womb, we're praying, oh, take me out of this suffering. And gradually, when we come out of here, we're thinking, wow, whew, beautiful place, oh, Australia. I love it here. And then trouble comes, oh, 197 Dank Street, Krishna is there. We're running to the temple. Bhagavan, here, Bhagavan. And when there is everything going well for you, you think you don't need God anymore. I'm fine. I'm fine, sir. How are you? I'm fine. We're never fine. From the time of birth, we are not fine. How are we going to be fine now? We work so hard in our whole life to make a living in this world, just to survive in this world. But you see the devotees. Devotees don't work hard. We work hard, but we work for Krishna. So when you work for Krishna, that is devotional service. That is the guru, the spiritual master, they can guide us in an expert way when we can come out of this suffering of material existence. The material existence is so stuck up in us for lifetime, birth, millions of births, birth after birth, we are stuck here in this material world. And still, we see how many people are here. Krishna says, out of 1,000 among men, one may come to me, one may surrender to me, and you are only here, a few handful of devotees. See, we have Janmashtami, 10,000 people here. And there's millions and millions of people all over the world. 10,000 people is not much, actually. And some temple, like, you know, I was living in Hong Kong, like maybe 1,000 or less. But here, we're lucky to have so many devotees. They're seeking for Krishna consciousness. But there's millions and millions of living entities all over the universe. So, how lucky to be chanting Hare Krishna. You are the chosen handful of devotees who have taken part in Krishna consciousness. Take it this way. We are very fortunate. Fortunate doesn't mean how wealthy you are. Wealth is when you have spiritual knowledge, when you can take part in association with devotees. While we have the energy, when you get old, it's very difficult to move around. When you have the energy to dance, when you have, you have some problem in your body, your ankles hurt, or your arms, your shoulder aching, you can't play the drum, you can't play kartal, you have sore throat, you can't sing. Imagine your body is disabled. It's horrible. We can't dance anymore. We can't raise our hand. For us, that is suffering. When we cannot chant Hare Krishna and can associate, we're just stuck. Suppose you say, I want to stay home, just watch TV, and fine, you can be in a wheelchair. You can do that for a long time. In Australia, when you get older, the parents, they put you in the, you know, those hospitals. All these hospitals. They just live there. They're nothing but TV. Their eyes and the TV just stuck together. Nothing in between. We, as devotees, go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, or you can come here, Church Janamita, and chant Hare Krishna. That is how we live our life. And that's so wonderful. It's like I was talking to one of the devotees. Whenever you can come, whenever you're free, you can't sleep, come to the temple. And you feel great here. So this is where it's liberating. This is where we feel that the material suffering is gone. This is the place to be. Like they always write in the Victoria, this is the place to be. This is the place, temple here. Out there is all suffering. So that we can feel relief The relief is when you have a problem on your skin, you blow on it, I feel relief. Whew, oh, very nice feeling. That's a relief. So when you chant Hare Krishna, what a relief. Such a good feeling. You need to be able to develop that taste. If you don't develop, you simply blow on it, you only feel the relief, but you're not actually feeling tangible feelings for Krishna. You have to develop that taste that the suffering is going to be always there as long as we have the material body. Even pure devotees, but they are not dwelling on it. Oh, I feel so painful all the time. I can't serve Krishna. Any condition of life, they're making the effort to serve Krishna. That's the difference in ordinary people and a devotee. They're not dwelling on the object of the senses. They're not dwelling on the miseries of life. They take the suffering as a test from Krishna, that I will serve Krishna even more, become more stronger. That's what it is. Stringent laws of material nature is going to influence all the time. Maya's influence is especially for devotees, because we understand the knowledge. So wherever we go, we are being pulled by the illusory potency, covering potency of Maya. That's called, in the Mayapur, they call Mayapur. It means it's under spiritual energy. Yoga Maya. We are under Mahamaya, Krishna's covering potency energy. The covering potency is like a net. And they catch fish, they have a net. They will throw the net and all the bunch of fish, they get stuck in it. So we are under the, caught in the net of the network of Maya. But Maya is working under the direction of Krishna. So if you pray to Krishna, according to here, she let go of you. Hare Krishna, like a ghost. They attack you, chant Hare Krishna, chant Nishingadev, let go of you. It's like touching on fire. Oh my God. You get burnt. So Maya cannot touch you if you are a devotee of Krishna. If you are chanting Hare Krishna, you take shelter of Krishna. There is no influence of Maya. Maya cannot touch you. But you have to be strong. The strength comes from chanting Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna means really chanting Hare Krishna. When we can be chanting Hare Krishna, different level, but we need to really take shelter of the chanting. Like when you are put into difficult situation and difficult position, you really pray to Krishna, really take shelter of Krishna. Please help me, protect me. You are desperate, need. Just like sometimes people come here early, really hungry, you have anything to eat? And they even came, well, they were cooking yesterday, Rajbhog, somebody came in around like 11 o'clock. I said, we are just being prepared. You'll be ready by 1. Oh, I'm very hungry. I told him, come to Temple Chan Hare Krishna. You'll feel better. So, we have to be like that. We have to be hungry for Krishna. He didn't run to the restaurant. He came here to take prasadam. That's nice. If you take food offered to Krishna, doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's cold khichdi just sitting in the fridge for days, you just eat it, offer it. It's offered to Krishna. That's the extent of your devotion. Not looking for the fresh, hot, steaming food. It'll turn up at 9 o'clock. It's ready. You take out of humility. Anything is offered to Krishna. That's what I feel. If there's nothing around, nothing to eat, you will be eating anything. Leaf from a tree is uncooked. We are very lucky. So, Krishna consciousness being available to us by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Prabhupada. The material existence, there's so much suffering. People are under strong illusion. They're not waking up. Srila Prabhupada used to say, just shake them. Shake them to be Krishna conscious. Like, you wake up in the morning, you have to shake yourself. Take a cold shower. Like Prabhupada was saying yesterday, Kali Krishna, before there was, they used to get up, they didn't have any hot shower. You have to take a really cold shower. The devotee should say that. The cold shower wakes you up. Hot shower, it doesn't really wake you up. You still feel sleepy afterward. Cold shower, like it goes inside, all your nerves gets opened up. Of course, you cover yourself, you know, if you're very old or you're not strong enough. The idea is that when there's enjoyment, and we tend to forget the suffering. The realistic life of the material world is that it is suffering. That's the condition. We created this material world. We created it. There's no need of material world. Krishna created this material world because we wanted to be here. We wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. Then Krishna, here you are, material world. You're born in this material world. Why did I end up here? How did I end up here? You ask yourself. If you're in a prison, what are you doing there? You're in the Durga. Durga means fort, right? But they're worshipping Durga. Durga Devi. He's fort. He can't get out. It's not like you can scratch and come out on the other end. It's fortified by, you know, it's not easy to get out. The material world. Material world expertly created by Krishna that you can never come out. You can come out, you have to seek a guru. Like I said, if you have a disease, then you go to the doctor, he'll give you a prescription. The chanting Hare Krishna, following the process, this is the prescription. The prescription is chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees. Devotees and guru, they are like the knife. They can cut your ignorance. This is the only way. Who can cut your ignorance? The devotees can tell us what's our problem. What's the problem with the living entity? They always say, what's your problem? Right? People always tell each other, what's your problem? The problem is that our material desire. And we think this material world is a wonderful place. We don't make an effort to come out of this this existence. The Sukadeva Goswami, he was in the mother's womb 16 years. Anyone here stayed in the mother's womb 16 years? 9 years is enough for us. It's a relief for mother too. I'm holding someone 9 years. I don't think they grow. These are prayers by the child within the womb. This prayer. I always wonder who wrote down this prayer. Who can hear you? Because you're in the womb. Who's writing it down? No one can hear your prayers. So how is it that it's in the Bhagavatam, these prayers? We're all suffering so much. We're praying within the womb. These are like wonderful prayers written down in Bhagavatam. So who is writing it down? Not your friend, your parents. I'm sure the mother didn't write because she's the only one can understand you. She didn't write it down. So he's praying to Krishna. Krishna is sitting in our heart. Even he's in the womb of the mother and in the heart of a child. Krishna is sitting, he can listen to your prayers. So this was written down by Vasudev. Vasudev is incarnation of God. Book incarnation. Empowered incarnation. So he understands everything. So, desperate condition. We are praying, oh Krishna, I'm suffering, please help. And he will help you. Don't doubt. When we are paying obeisances, you know, when you are paying obeisances, what are you thinking? You pay a full obeisance to Dandabhat. I always think, Krishna, you are so wonderful. Please, I am such a small, some dirt in the ground. Let me pay my respect, obeisance to your lotus feet. You are great. You are so almighty. Please, be merciful to me. To this dust on the ground. Not we pay obeisances, but we have to have feeling. Everything we do, we must have some consciousness behind. Why are we doing it? What is the purpose behind? The goal of our existence is to root out this suffering condition of life. Don't think that you have a good job and you have a lot of things going for you materially. Life is going well. It's very honey and very sweet life. You have everything. Suddenly, things can go wrong. That is material world. You think, oh, I have a high education and a good job and a family and children and everything going very nice. But it doesn't always stay like that. That's the material world. There's no guarantee. Material world means that here, any time things can go wrong. Padam padam jat bipadam na tesham. It's mentioned that every step there is a danger. You are healthy and strong, then you feel ill. So, Krishna consciousness is to awaken us from this illusion. Sometime when you're driving in India, you go to Mayapur, you see these buffaloes, they're on the road. And they don't get out of the way. Not only one, two or three, and then just, they're just lying in the middle of the road. Not on the side, there's so much space. Actually, not so much space. They have a house that's so close to the road. And they're all lying, cows and buffalo. Maybe it's a warm and clean road. They're lying there and chewing on grass. You know. And you come around, you want to go to Mayapur, and you're beeping, beeping. They don't get out of the way. They just turn around, like, what's going on? Like, nothing. Then sometimes the driver has to come out with a stick and hit you. Get off. We need to drive. This is the road. Sleep somewhere else. So, we need to be beaten with a stick. Wake up. Wake up to the transcendental knowledge. We are thick. Our heart is thick with ignorance. Oh my God, yeah. The spiritual master has to cut our ignorance. I remember before when I first joined in Mayapur, we here in Melbourne Temple, we have a lot of fun because nobody tells us what I should do or not. Everything's is fun, simultaneous. There in the early days in Mayapur, we had to get up, the children, they have to get up 3 o'clock to go to Mangalarati, 4:30. This is very early for us and very cold. And we'd be falling asleep while we're chanting japa. And they would throw a gong stick on us. You know, they play the gong, they have a stick, they throw on you. Suddenly, we hit the buffalo with the stick, they're really doing to us. Doing the Mangalarati, and you look at the deity and you turn around to look at something else. They would take your face, put it straight to the deity. If you're chanting japa and you look around, they make sure that your face is turning to the deity and not somewhere else. They're very strict. So there's no time for like being an illusion. We're forced to be out of illusion. But actually, in a way, it's good because then we are forced to be Krishna conscious. But it's not like that. We need to be naturally feel love for Krishna. Naturally. You have to develop the taste. If forced, then I don't want to be here. I remember I was chanting japa and like this, and my fingers like they have. Sometimes I have a huge bead bag, and your beads are very tiny, so you have a really bead bag. I have a very bead bag, like huge, like almost like a bag. I purposely have a big bead bag and a small beads. You can keep mahaprasada and different things inside. Yeah, small. Keep all kinds of stuff inside, keys. But nobody will check your bead bag if there's something missing. That's like the sacred place. Something missing, who's going to... I got like that. And the keys and sticky here. And you have tiny beads. So, I remember shining, big the hands, fingers coming out. Sometime, like if you're UK or somewhere, very cold here also. So they have the finger warmer. The Matajis, they will make a special thing. You know, sew it. And you put it on your finger, so keep your finger warm when you're chanting. You call it finger warmer. So you have the finger warmer. So we're going around chanting. Suddenly I hit myself on the wall. The finger is almost broken. Because then follow chanting japa, but you're actually sleeping. I hit the wall and the finger So, if you are chanting japa like that, how are you going to develop the taste for Krishna? You're falling asleep. So they used to go around, and one sannyasi, he had the water gun. So he'd keep under his, in a top piece, water gun. And anyone falling asleep, he sprinkled water on us. So those days, it was very, they were very strict in making us Krishna conscious. By force, we had to be. Right after Mangalarati, I would go to the kitchen. Anyone in Bengal, the children, they're here very enthusiastic. We wanted to go to the kitchen and have rice, because we eat rice early morning. And they would soak them, like leftover rice, they soak it in the water. And then we'd have early morning soaked rice in the water with chili. It's very nice, tasty. You don't have idea. That's the best part. When it's in the water, it ferments a little bit, so it's like really tasty. They call pantabhat. So they'll have that early morning. I can't imagine eating that now. Right after Mangalarati. So that way, so some devotees, they knew these guys were going to their kitchen so early. We go there, there'll be Babananda waiting for us. Oh. devotee, they're very heavy with a stick. So what are you doing here? So we had to know the day where he was there, where he's not there. So there's always a plan. We have to make plan to be Krishna conscious, or he can make plan to be in not Krishna conscious. So everyone in this world, we're making plan. So sometimes force is good. Force is good when it's necessary to be Krishna conscious. But if you're forcing me, I might not necessarily accept it. So you have to say with love. Yeah. Like children. Oh, yeah. You say, Hare Krishna Prabhu, with a smile, pat in the back. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your instruction. Oh, you rascal, why are you coming so late? You don't have to listen. You go and get a job outside. You don't show up here. But that's not the... I feel when the devotees tell us what to do, it's actually good. If not, who is going to tell us? It's full of maya. If devotees don't come knocking on the door, who is going to come to tell us to be Krishna conscious? If gurus doesn't tell you, who will tell you? We have so much independent. Actually, there is no independent. Independent is... we can serve Krishna or we can suffer in the material world by maya. That's all. Very little independence. If the devotees tell you, don't tell you what to do, then your boss will tell you. Work very hard. I'm paying your money, salary. Work here. Maya on time. There's always people telling us. So if devotees tell us to be Krishna conscious, whether heavy or not, it's always okay. But those days, they were too much in the 70s. I know it all. They're very intense. And I remember we get up in the morning, early days, they didn't have the hot shower, so we'd put mustard oil. In Mayapur, they put mustard oil on your skin. Because in the cold weather, when you put mustard oil, it prevents the cold when you take. So a hand pump, when the water comes from the ground directly, that water is warm. And water comes from the machine because it's kept in the tank on the roof. So that water is cold. So if you take bath from the tap, it's freezing cold because water comes from the roof of the in the tank. So we get up in the morning with the mustard oil. Because mustard oil is good for the skin. Proper is to use mustard oil for massage. And it makes the hair darker or whatever. And stuff like that. And so we put mustard oil and use the hand pump. The water comes direct from the ground. So the water is warm. And it wouldn't touch the skin so much. Because it would slide off from become mustard oil. So you don't feel the cold. Do it always. And then sometimes we didn't even take shower. Because it's so cold. So we said, oh yeah, I've taken a shower. So what he would do, like he would just wet the hair and the sikha, feet and hand. So the teacher would check us later. They knew what area he put in. And he'd check our body that if you actually took shower or not. And then if you're cheating, you'd go back and take a shower in front of the teacher. Stuff like that. I'm sure here nobody's checking. So, yeah, I just wet the hair. But Krishna knows everything. Here we have a warm shower here, so it's not a problem. But sometimes we would be so austere, and for breakfast we had the food, the prasadam we had, it was that meant for food for life. Not crossways prasadam. The food for life prasadam means it was just khichdi. No rice is made out of wheat that's broken with some vegetable. But it's old. It's all broken up. Sometimes there's bugs in it. We separate the bugs. It was meant for food for life. That was breakfast for all the devotees. So this is why when I come here, I see, you know, all kinds of palatable prasadam. I feel it's okay if I eat or not. Because and I had so many austere lifestyle. It doesn't affect me if I don't eat or not. But for those who didn't have it, they can have it first. I didn't have to have it. Because I was brought up in that way. So if there is so much enjoyment in life, why should we care about it? But there's so much, if you see in the world, there's so much suffering. Whole world, there's so much suffering. Actually, we are enjoying here Krishna consciousness. There's no suffering here. Srila Prabhupada used to say, there's no suffering. What is the difficulty to chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada used to always say, what's the difficulty? If you don't have a TV, if you don't have a newspaper, but now you can see everything in your phone. See, everywhere you go out, you see people are on the phone.
Internet.
Cut the internet. Only for Krishna. 197 Dank Street, only internet, nowhere else internet. Where you go, you know, people are just chatting and chatting. Sometimes when I'm in the train or buses, it's my karma to always sit next to someone, they're just going to blah, blah, blah on the phone. Every time. There's always someone next to me. I thought to myself, this is my karma. It is the most annoying thing is when somebody next to you, and we have to go like 1 hour or hour and a half, someone next to you, usually the Indian people, talking to someone in India or somewhere, in Hindi, like that. So there was one Indian lady just in front of me. I told her to chup. Chuprao. Because it means shut up. But in our language, so I didn't want to say in English because then she might get hurt because other people understand what I'm telling her. So at least she can be, I'm respectful to her. And she calmed down. And like as she was talking, she was getting louder and louder. And she was thinking everybody likes it. You know, so I talk louder. So I'm so proud, I'm talking on the phone. Everyone likes it. She was going on and on. Like when you chant Hare Krishna, you get more ecstasy, you start chanting louder. But she was going on, louder and louder. She's talking some, you know, family stuff. So I tell her, you know, keep quiet. And then she, calm down. So everyone is so busy with the, you know, not understanding the mission of life. This far out, gone so far. So you have to bring it back. Every time bring it back. Every time you go away, bring it back. Like Krishna says, the mind's always wandering away, bring it back to the lotus feet of Krishna. Every time. We can't take for granted. We can't take for granted. Especially here, like sometimes the devotees, we take for granted because we have everything Krishna conscious. Still, it's not always turns out to be the way we want. But Krishna is always there for us if we are sincere enough. Just like
Japataka Maharaj was telling a story that sometime a devotee take it too granted, and they didn't take seriously Krishna consciousness as being a slackstick Krishna consciousness, not chanting, not associating, criticizing, all those things. And he happened to walking on the side of a cliff, and he slid from the cliff. But Krishna doesn't want him to die. Krishna is protecting him, so he held himself on the side of the cliff like this. Like if you see the movies, sometimes they make movies, and then people come fully off. So his hand was holding onto the cliff, and his body was hanging down. If he dropped, he would be smithered, rocks down there. So somebody was walking past. Oh, help me, help me. I slipped, I'm here hanging. So he couldn't see anything. But he saw these four fingers on the side of the cliff. Four fingers there. So he pulled him up. He was a devotee. Yeah, Krishna protects the devotees. So he didn't die. Then Krishna protected him. And so he went straight to the temple, nearest temple. And he wasn't so serious. And he was straight and pulled on the butt, not thinking of Krishna, please, please help me. Just like the child in the womb. Was someone suffering, run to the temple. And the taxi, if you didn't have a car, get on and say thank to Krishna. And pay obeisance and chant japa. And he took it seriously. The devotee himself told me this. So when you're suffering, we take so seriously Krishna consciousness. But don't take it too lightly. All the people here in Melbourne, they can't wait till the weekend comes. You see Friday night, and you see Monday morning. People like, Monday morning, everyone's like, you know, Friday, oh, Saturday, enjoy. Monday morning, suffering. But for us, it doesn't matter. Whatever day, life is so short. What is time? Time is, I came here almost 1 year now, almost. I was telling someone, this last October, and that's May, almost end of May now. It's almost 8 months. It's gone. It's like yesterday. Our life is like that. It's very, very not long. It's very short. It flies quickly. So if you stay Krishna conscious, if you work hard, time will go very quickly. We have nothing to do. We just sit around and mental out. It's very long. You'll feel, wow, such a long day. But for devotees, the time is going very fast. Stay Krishna conscious. Wherever you are, you have to work. Be Krishna conscious in the middle of your work. Krishna is there with you, wherever you are. In the middle of your job, there's Krishna in your heart. He's listening to you. He is with you. So not just when you're with your and the mother in the womb is suffering. When we come out, everything is fine. Oh, so great. We're not suffering anymore. But keep ourselves awake. Stay focused on the knowledge. Chant Hare Krishna sincerely. Everywhere we go, chant Hare Krishna. If there's no beads, chant on your tongue. Krishna will listen. So Krishna is listening in the womb of mother. Why are you not listening to us now? He's everywhere. So once the illusion is when we think this place is wonderful, everything's going well for me. Then that is illusion. I always think that, you know, so someone from somewhere comes here and then meet someone, they become friends, they have a family. How is this possible? You know, boy meets a girl and then they get married. I met her before, or she never met them before. There's some another country and suddenly they come together. How is this? It's so funny. That's always, this is just so weird. So we create a situation in this world where we become entangled. Don't get too entangled. Stay in the knowledge. Even in the family, know that it is Krishna's thing. Everything belongs to Krishna. Our body is Krishna's body. So don't abuse Krishna's energy. This body is Krishna's. Oh, it's my child, my wife, my family, daughter, everything. On and on, this illusion. There's nothing is ours. He meets someone, she meets you somewhere, and then suddenly you have family. You don't. Before that, you didn't know. So how? And he's not going to be there again. So this is a short time we come together, and
and we become so entangled in it, so absorbed in it, so focused in it that we forget Krishna. And it can happen again. That's the strength of Maya, so strong that we don't give up. We keep trying. Materialistic people say, keep trying, you'll get it. Nobody gets it. Material things, you're only suffering. It's given by Bhagavatam. Bhagavan himself, Krishna himself telling this material world is like that. So we can get love for Krishna. We can get spiritual things, but material things will not satisfy us. Only entangles us. Just like if you're caught in the mud and you try to get out and you get more boggled in the mud. More and more, you can't get out. That's material world. Prabhupada used to give the example of the fire. Like you get burned in the fire, and so if you put oil to get to extinguish the fire, you put oil, and it gets only bigger. You put water, you can extinguish it or something else, but fuel only increases the fire. So when you try to satisfy our material situation, material life, it's only adding fuel to the fire. So chanting Hare Krishna extinguishes the fire. We chant in the mandri, in the Jetadarpana Marjanam, that the fire of material existence extinguished by chanting that. Not chanting like enthusiasm. Krishna, help me! Protect me! Let me offer my respect to you. Hold on to your lotus feet with great enthusiasm. Wherever we are, then Krishna will listen to you. Hey Krishna, where are you? Hare Krishna! And Krishna can hear you. He's way, miles away in the spiritual world. Ah, who's calling me? Krishna will look down on you and he'll see, there's my devotee. And he'll pull you up. So, we need to be so enthusiastic and Krishna will be there for us and listen to our prayers. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Today is also the Vesa Puja of Pralhada Maharaj. Yeah. He comes here, right? Once or twice a year?
Yeah, once a year.
Pralhada Maharaj is, he comes to Hong Kong and other places. I remember a few times. And he's very senior devotee and very strict with himself. He's always there for program, Mangalarti, and he's always there chanting to devotees. He gives nice classes, very enthusiastic classes. Sometimes, very cutting. I remember in Perth once, he gave a class and there were some Indian people there arguing with him. Mara said something, I forget what, and he was quiet forever. Because Maharaj can really give the knowledge in a very nice way that you're satisfied with it. So, there are so many great Vaishnava devotees in our movement. They are the example of great, they helped Srila Prabhupada start this movement. They're pioneers to Krishna consciousness. You have to admire and give your respect, and blessings can come to you. That's a way to progress in Krishna consciousness, by pleasing Vaishnavas. That's another way to end our suffering and come out of the illusory state of life, when we can pray to the devotee's mercy. If the devotees are happy, then Krishna is happy. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.